The powerful name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Victoria. It was very fun to play that song with you. I really enjoy your voice. Trying to get everything in order. Technology sometimes is excellent, and other times it's not so excellent. So this week for me has been kind of a struggle as your pastor, and I praise God for the burdens that he's placed on my heart, and I hope he's placed those same burdens on your hearts. Amen? Amen. Captain Ernest Shackleton, have you ever heard of him? He was a famous early 1900s explorer, most famously known for his failure, really. He tried to reach Antarctica, but fell short to another country, but then he wanted to go back and be the first to explore the land and to see what was on this uncharted land in the early 1900s. So he assembled a group of men, and they took his ship called the Endurance down through many months of sailing to Antarctica. So of these 27 men were sailors, cooks, different scientists and biologists, again, sailing all the way to this sub-zero temperature place. And as they were arriving in Antarctica, they ran into some packed ice. That's kind of a landmass of ice that's constantly moving, constantly shifting. And as they were making their way, I mean, ice that can be anywhere from 18 to 20 feet thick that they're trying to break through, the ship break through to get to the inland of Antarctica. But during that time, they became stuck because the water just froze instantly with the headway that they were making. So Captain Shackleton decided that they were going to stay there and then wait it out till the ice broke free as the weather changed. And during that time, life was good. They had much provisions, but as they were waiting in the several months that they were there, the ice was shifting more, and it was banging up against the hulls of the ship, and they started to break free, the water to burst in, and Captain Shackleton had to make the call that they were to abandon ship. And they actually had to live out on the ice during a time and watch their ship just crumble by the massive ice that was constantly destroying it. And in 17 months of their whole time, they broke free of the ice and they made their escape. And during this time, not one of Captain Shackleton's men perished. All 27 made it. I mean, subarctic temperatures of 1900s technology, they were safe. And a lot of this was due to the heroism of Captain Shackleton in leading his men to safety. It was kind of one of a kind. But that's just the nutshell of the story. It's on YouTube, and I urge you to watch it. It's a very good documentary with a lot of the original footage. But I want to focus more on the advertisement that was done prior to the trip, on what Captain Shackleton wanted on his ship. He says, "Men wanted for a hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, several months of complete darkness, constant danger," and this is my favorite, "safe return, doubtful, but honor and recognition upon safe success." Now, how many of us would want to be a part of a journey like this in the 1900s era of technology? Not one? I don't see any. No? Okay, there's one. Brave hero. Guess how many men enlisted for this journey, to be a part of this journey? Over 5,000 men wanted to put themselves in harm's danger, wanted to go and deny themselves to get an honor and reward that they didn't know if they were going to get or not. You know, Jesus kind of paints this picture for us in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, of this story about denying yourself, take up your cross and follow me, Jesus says. Father, we need your presence here with us this morning. Self can rise up instantly. We need your Holy Spirit to convict our hearts, to show us the way of righteousness, to show us the way of self-denial, to carry our cross. Give us that wisdom and that understanding, Lord, for I pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. So turn with me to Mark chapter 8. This is where we'll be primarily studying this morning. So keep your finger here. We will be moving around a little. But Mark chapter 8, Jesus is meeting with his disciples and other people that he has called to him, and they are now listening to something that he's about to do, that he's talking about something that he's only alluded to from that point on, but now he's starting to speak plainly with the people. But prior to this, Jesus has just fed the 4,000. He's done this mighty miracle of taking 7 loaves, 2 fish, and providing food for 4,000 plus people. And then the Pharisees and Sadducees, they come at him. They're wanting to see a sign. They weren't there. They didn't see it. They want this proof because they're starting to get worried. They're starting to say, who is this guy coming in here and doing all this stuff? Give us a sign of who you really are. And what Jesus says, he sighed at them. And he said, to this generation, you always seek a sign and no sign will be given it but that of Jonah. Now, for the common people, they may not understood this, but he was speaking to people who knew the scripture, who knew the word. And he was referring to Jonah in the belly of the well. How many days was Jonah in the belly of the well? 3 days and nights. The same as what Christ was trying to say, what was going to ultimately happen to him. And then Jesus pulls away with his disciples, and he's telling them, be leery of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the disciples are arguing amongst themselves because they don't get it. They don't really understand what Jesus is saying. He's kind of testing them anyways, but they're arguing amongst themselves, we should have brought some of that bread that came out of nowhere. I don't even know where we got it, but we should have brought it with us. But Jesus, knowing what they're doing, he calls their attention and he says, you know, with eyes you do not see, and with ears you do not hear. I fed the 5,000, the 4,000, you saw that. Is it not simple that I could call down from heaven any kind of food that we want? What I'm trying to tell you, disciples, don't listen to the teachings and the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They had their mindset wrong. They had it on their own ideas, their own pompous ways. You get down there and do that. We have this way, and this is the way that we're going to do it. Jesus is telling them, don't listen to that kind of thinking. You've got to understand that I didn't come to be ruler and king. I came to be a servant and to serve. Hard words for the disciples to hear. And then Jesus later on, he's talking to the disciples and he's, you know, hey, I'm starting to do some kind of crazy stuff here in your minds. Who are the people saying that I am? And then they answer probably fairly quickly, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Well, others say you're Elijah. And then, you know, some others are saying that you're one of the prophets from old. But then he says a more pointed question, more direct, who do you think that I am? And I'm sure in that moment, some of them just wanted to shout out that you've got to be the Messiah. You've got to be the one that all the prophets talked about. You have to be him, but they didn't. But then Peter pipes up and he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commends him and says, yes, but flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but God who is in heaven, his Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you. And I could see Peter in that moment of just kind of prideful boasting, you know? And it's kind of appropriate when we hear the voice of God. Don't you want to shout for joy because when you hear his voice speaking to you? And then the confirmation from Jesus saying, yeah, you did hear what's been going on. You have been listening. But things turn for worse because Jesus, now he's starting to talk differently. He's not talking in the same, the triumphal way that he's been doing these miracles, doing these miraculous events. In verse 31 of chapter 8, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man, whom Peter just confessed, whom they just understand that Jesus is that, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He spoke this word openly. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. I mean, could you imagine in that moment, Jesus is saying these things, and they're probably like, what is he saying? What is he saying? Is he referring to something? What? And then Peter, in his high and mighty knowledge of understanding, pulls Jesus to the side. What are you doing? You're embarrassing us in front of everybody. Why are you saying things like that? But in that moment of Peter rebuking Jesus, Jesus sets an example. Continue with me in 33. But when he had turned around and looked at his disciples. So Peter, they're over here. Peter's giving them, you know, he turns and looks back at his disciples. And what does he say? Get behind me, Satan. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men. You see, Jesus is starting to talk about going against the opposition. He's starting to talk about the shame, the suffering. He's talking about dying. This is stuff that we don't want to talk about. This is stuff that we don't really want to deal with on a level of carrying the cross. But Jesus knows that it's time, that the shame's going to come, the suffering's going to come, the dying is going to come. But in verse 34, he doesn't just leave Peter with this whipping. He doesn't just leave him scorned, as we all, maybe in our own way, you shouldn't have done that, you should have done that. And then what do? We go away, and we don't try to build the person, the situation back up. But Jesus, on the other hand, he says in verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he also said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's sake will be saved. Now there's this, you kind of see it there, and I'm sure of any of you that have experienced as you have become a Christian, as you've come out of the baptismal waters, that you start getting attacked. Any of you that have said, I claim Christ, I have the banner of Christ over me, stuff starts happening in your life. And there's a famous theologian who calls this situation that kind of happens within holy schizophrenia. Now, he's not referring, and neither am I, referring to the tragic medical condition that kind of befalls people. But what he's trying to say in the broader spectrum, he says that a state characterized by coexistence of contradictory or incompatible elements. So it's literally, I'm praising God, praise you, Lord Jesus, holy, you know, being like the publican who was repented before the Lord, really in that moment when all heaven draws near, but in the next moment we turn and do something that we don't want to. Have you ever been there? Am I the only one that has been there? Paul kind of talks about it, that he wants to do what is right, but his flesh does opposite, right? We war against our internal self. This holy schizophrenia. But we're called to deny ourselves and take up our cross. It's challenging. Very, very challenging. You see, the cross for us is a place of victory. We want it posted everywhere, and when we see it, we just are reminded of the beautiful sacrifice that Jesus did. Amen? It is a glorious place. X marks the spot where we need to be. That's where the treasure is. But for the people of this day, when Jesus is telling them, you've got to pick up your cross and carry it, it's not a thing that was looked upon as highly as we might think of it today. It's a place of shame, a place of humiliation, A place of where you were more than likely, scholars say, that you were strewn up naked before all to see. Despised, rejected in those moments. And Jesus is saying, you've got to take up your cross and follow after me. You know, a beautiful picture right back here on the wall is displayed of Jesus carrying the crossbar of the cross. That's another spectrum that we don't understand, that each person who was condemned to death on a cross, they had to carry that cross, whether it was the full cross or just the crossbar, and then through crowds, the people who maybe that person, they killed their son, the people were hurling who knows what on them as they passed in their march to their death. And as they're there in that moment of public humiliation, and Jesus is saying, take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Our world today, I'm sure each and every one of us would say that we don't really look at denying ourselves. It's built on get a meal anytime you want. I think Taco Bell, fourth meal, if that's still a thing. You can go online. I literally can go on Amazon and buy a huge sauna. And I can have it in 2 days. I can go to the store, or I don't even have to go to the store, to the grocery store. I can put my stuff on Walmart's list, and then I just go to the store and pick up the groceries. Denying myself of having to be involved with the hustle and bustle of the crowds. Our world is being torn into, don't deny yourself. Give to yourself. Constantly. Give, give. Read with me 2 Timothy chapter 3. Keep your finger here in Mark, we'll continue. But 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I don't like this passage. It always convicts me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, or verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days... Are we living in the last days, friends? The final moments of Earth's history. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasures, rather than lovers of God. I don't like reading that. Because some of my places in my life where I need Jesus to be over me, to be helping in me, are listed there. I don't know about you. But we need to be aware of the day and age that we're living in. You see, the world says, if you want love, go get it. You can just click a couple pages on the internet. You can go out and find love, sleep with anybody that you want to. Take it, it's yours. The world says, you want joy, go buy whatever you want. Who cares if your paycheck is gone? You don't need it anyways. Give yourself joy. Peace? Yeah, you tried that back in the 60s and 70s, but that didn't work out too well. Long-suffering? That's just a made-up word. Nobody suffers long-suffering. Come on. Give in. Break. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those things aren't present in the world today. Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. Now, denying ourselves, we need to understand. Denying ourselves is not trying to live in isolation. It's not the solitary life, stay away from me, all you wicked sinners, denying ourselves in the presence of with them. Or a person who is headstrong with, how dare you be joyful? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And that person is just trying to live the abundant life that Christ gave. It isn't self-hatred, shaming yourself, causing harm to yourself. Or it's not the inward, oh, I have all these problems. You know what that does? It takes the focus off of others around us, in which we are supposed to be ministering to, and it places it on ourselves when we have that kind of thinking. It's not denying material possessions. That's not what Jesus is saying in this context. Now, I do want to urge you that we don't need to be keeping up with the Joneses. We don't need to be spending large amount of money for junk that we all know just ends up in the garage, just ends up in the attic, wherever it may be. We need to live a simple and modest life. Denying ourselves is cross-avoiding. Not denying ourselves is avoiding the cross. We avoid it when we give in to those places. I needed to say what I needed to say. They needed to hear what I had to say. Friends, self will not take up the cross. We in ourselves will not do that. It doesn't make sense for us to go through that kind of pain. Ourself, remember the schizophrenia part? That old self, it always wants to butt in and say, no pain. You don't need that pain. You don't need that opposition against somebody. The old self says, no, shame? Uh-uh. Shame's awful. No. And I'm not talking about the shame of scoring somebody, but the shame of being a true Christian, the shame that the world will throw on. The old self says, no way, I can't endure that. I wasn't made for that. Dying to myself? Ha! Dying physically? No way. Bearing a cross, friends, says, I will follow Jesus. I mean, doesn't Jesus know better in our condition? This Holy One from heaven came down, who knew no sin, but yet he made himself with us. I mean, I just imagine the place of glory, you know, when we read the spirit of prophecy of this beautiful place of heaven, and yet he came down to this wicked, sinful, self-seeking planet. Jesus understands that at a moment's notice, we're going to throw eternity away. We will give it up. We'll sell our soul. I mean, read with me. 35 of Mark 8. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. That's what he's trying to get at. He knows that we're just going to throw it all away. He sees that in us. He knows that in us. He's not guessing. Jesus knows, friends. He's trying to save our lives. If we follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. If we follow Jesus, want to follow Jesus, we must carry our cross. Now, Jesus doesn't have a death wish for you in this. He does not have that in mind. He wants to give you life. Don't throw away your life, he says, at a moment's notice, at that place of where you may be sinning. Don't give up eternity for that. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, friends, I urge you to memorize this when times are heavy, when times are hard. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke. Take the cross upon you. Learn from me. That means deny yourself. Listen to what the great teacher has to say. Because he is gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The old self, friend, is a fool. I know at a moment that old self says, yeah, we need to do that. We need to say that. We need to act this way. Don't listen to it. I mean, the old self says, you need to have your life here. You only got 80, maybe 90 years if you live healthfully. You need to build your life here. You need to have all these things. You need to have that retirement. Storing it up for yourself. Have all the homes in the several locations and go to them whenever you please. Get the top of the line cars. just because you can. Don't give to somebody who might need help, because guess what? They have hands, they have feet, a mind. They can go out and get a job. I don't need to give them any of my possessions. The old self says, you know what? Just one more look. One more look ain't going to hurt anybody. The old self says, you know what? I'm not really worried about my health. Because guess what? All this food is full of GMOs, MOGs, whatever it may be. So I'm just going to keep to my sweets and diet because that's done well for me. It makes me feel good. The old self says, you know what? I will not say that I was wrong in that situation. They need to apologize to me. That's what the old self says. It's the mindset that sets in that, you know, I know God is coming soon, maybe, I don't know. That's what the old self says. It denies the word of God that comes into the soul and convicts and gives us peace. Don't listen to that old self. Don't you think Jesus knows better in what he's saying? These 80 to 90 years of this self-pleasure, this self-seeking, versus what Jesus wants for all of us. 90, 80 times a million years of eternity with him in joyful bliss. Don't sell it at a moment's notice, friends. Deny yourself. Take up the cross and follow him. Jesus is pleading, don't forever die. That's what he's saying in 36. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or that a man will exchange it for his soul? Forever dead, never living again, eternally dead. I know for myself, we have self that gets in the way. As of right now, I think maybe I could speak more than some with my 15-week pregnant wife. She's exhausted in the evening. She's student teaching all day, and she comes home, and these dishwashing hands are getting really pruny, and the dishes are piling up, and stuff is just laying everywhere, and I look in her face, and I don't even recognize her anymore because of the exhaustion that's on her face. And I have to hold back. Do I want to say a comment? Do we really want to be parents like this and leaving this house a mess? Or do I deny myself? Take up the cross and follow Christ wherever he goes. Now, we all have our crosses to bear, there's no doubt about it, and each are more than others. Now, if you haven't experienced carrying a cross, there's pains and suffering in this room that would probably crush me if I actually knew what was really going on in your life. You will bear a cross, friends, if you are under the banner of Jesus. Deny yourself, take up the cross, and follow Jesus. In those moments when that self rises up, we must say, no, I will not. I'm not going to say that about that person. I'm going to humbly follow and listen to what they say. I'm not going to act that way in this situation. You have to deny yourself in those moments. I know that it burns with fire and rage sometimes. Be patient and wait upon the Lord. Cry out to God. He is faithful. Deny yourself and carry the cross of Christ. Do we remember the advertisement from before? What if it read, and let's go even further, what if our baptismal vows were more of this way? Men and women wanted for a hazardous journey of denying self, of carrying the cross of Christ. Guess what? You're going to earn small wages in those acts of kindness, those places of service that you do that you think you're going to get paid. You're probably not going to get paid for it. It's going to be bitter cold. You're going to feel all alone, naked, feeling the shame, feeling the death, feeling the condemning voices around you. It's going to be several months of complete darkness. Death feeling that it's gripping you. Constant danger. And guess what? Safe return? Doubtful. But honor and recognition upon safe return when we deny ourselves, we carry the cross of Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I that live, but Jesus who lives within me. I was reading The Desire of Ages last night, and the Calvary scene, it always just hurts me when I read that. When I see Jesus up there, and he's all alone. Nobody's there with him. Nobody's there to comfort him. His own disciples have left and have run away. All the right people of the society are hurling insults at him. King of the Jews placed above him, claiming who he really is, but he's alone up there, not a soul in the world. When we bear the cross of Christ, friends, it's a lonely journey sometimes. It's dangerous. It hurts. But glory awaits us on the other side. Jesus is there beside you in those moments of darkness when you don't think that anybody's hearing your cries. Nothing's working. It's all coming back at me. Jesus is saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. Carry that cross. Verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, are we not living in that? Literally, adulterous is talking, being an adulterer has nothing to do with spiritual spiritual side. This is people who are doing filthy and disgusting things. Sinful generation. Of him or that person, the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Jesus is soon to break forth in the sky, friends. A time like no other is soon to be upon us. And if we aren't ready for those moments of public shame, Justin's Book of Martyrs is beautiful in what the true, we're all true Christians, but what the first century church did. They had a death sentence being Christians. We have it made easy right now. How do we gain heaven? It is when we deny ourselves, when we take up the cross when we don't want to, and we follow Jesus. The last group of people will follow the Lamb wheresoever he goes, even if it is a march to your death. Will you be faithful in that, knowing that Christ Jesus is there with you in those moments of despair? I want to finish with a cartoon illustration that I saw online as I was preparing my sermon. Visual types of things can help stimulate thoughts for me. And anyways, it's of this cartoon, and there's people, they're all on their own path, and they're all carrying their crosses. And they're carrying their crosses. And then in one of the comic strip, he turns up and he says, God, this is too much. I can't bear this load. And you know those moments when it's like your prayers are just hitting the ceiling. Nobody's there. You've waited. You may have even fasted and prayed like Daniel for 2 weeks, not a moment heard from heaven. And you know what I'm talking about. We take the cross, just like in this comic strip, and cut a little piece away, making it a little bit lighter. We take it upon ourselves to fix the situation. And then time goes on, and then there's another complaint, another hard situation that comes upon, and we want to wait, but we can't, and give it to me now, deny, you know, cut off a little bit more. And then at the end of the cartoon, there's this huge gap, a huge gulf. And the person who's cut away their cross, he sees everybody else laying down their crosses, and they're able to walk into eternity with Jesus. But he's trying to lay his cross down, and it's too short. Don't come up short, friends. Deny yourself Bear the load that Jesus has gone before us. With his help, we can be with him in eternity. That is my plea for you today. These cards that we have, deny yourself. Talk to somebody about it. This is beautiful information. Many of you are here because of seminars like this. Don't leave it for the Holy Spirit to take the wind and blow it that maybe somebody will pick it up. I mean, you could go and just, hi, have a nice day. I mean, I urge you to have a conversation with the person, but give it to somebody. Talk to them about the beautiful love of Jesus and what he's done for you in your life. Go this week. Take more of the cards. They're out in the foyer back on the shelves here. Take more. They're useless after the 15th of this month. Bear the cross of Christ. Deny yourself and follow Jesus. Father in heaven, you are our refuge and our strength. Father, we're afraid. We have situations. We have our job. We don't know if we're going to have a job. Our marriages are struggling. Father, we may not know how to start denying ourselves. We don't know how to lay down the addictions. We don't know how to stop our mouths, this sword that kills of our tongue. We don't know how to bear the cross, Father. These mountains will shake and fall into the sea, but Father, you come to our rescue. We know, Father, that you will come to us, that you will speak to us as a friend to console us, that you bear the heavier load. Father, help us to deny ourselves. Because in those moments that we are challenged to deny ourselves, we want to run away from that and we want to do what we want to. Father, no longer will that happen. In the name of Jesus, come and speak to us. Come and speak to us in our pain and our suffering and our confusion. Father, we are carrying a load of denying ourselves, carrying the cross on which you bore, but you went before us. We can rest assured in that. We praise you, Jesus, for the work that you are doing here at Bowman Hills, for the work that you're doing in each of our lives. Guide and direct us, Father God, for we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.